This is a Beyond Casterbrus podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrus.com.
It's me, Christian Corley, again. I'm sorry. And it's him, James. We were recording a podcast with the K last week, and then we kind of went into a bit that we've cut out for you now, for this Beyond Casterbrus podcast, which was, I've just done flying quotes with my fingers there. And we started talking about James Bond, and so we thought we'd bring it to you separately. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah, I thought so too. So here it is. I was carrying one of my children around earlier on, and I walked into something, and I went, oomph, like that. Like no one actually does. Except one man. Roger Moore's James Bond.
Oh, right.
And it occurred to me that somewhere there must be tapes of ADR sessions of Roger Moore dubbing, oomph, as he gets punched. Or he lands on the Golden Gate Bridge in View to Kill and stuff like that.
I must admit, I like this cultural reference, but I've never noticed it before. So
you,
I'm going to have to.
Have you not?
I have never noticed it. So I'll have to rewatch some Roger Moore. And,
oh, it
and
happens
now
all
with
the
this.
Time. Yeah. they're definitely ADR'd because they just sound wrong. They don't sound like they're in the place at all. They've definitely been put on afterwards.
So well, that would make more sense as well, wouldn't it? Why they sound so bad if he's not able to replicate that. I find it hard. I grew up, as you did, with Roger Moore as James Bond. And, you know, things like, for me as a kid, thanks to their merchandising arm, things like Moonraker and Spy Who Loved Me sort of sits there as being a sort of fond memory, especially for Christmases and Boxing Days. But his is the era I just really can't watch.
I don't mind the first three, but I have trouble. I do have. I don't know whether it's. I think it's. It doesn't sit convincingly after that for me. It feels too much parody.
There is a lot of parody. For Your Eyes Only is quite dark in places, which I quite like.
It is, yeah.
But yeah, there is a lot. I mean, obviously. And you, Spy Who Loved Me and Moonraker is particularly have a lot of that in there as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Gareth Cavanagh was here, he would be berating us for dissing the Moonraker. But I've always
felt... I know, but he is like that, isn't he?
Yes,
he likes Horns of Nymon, so you can always bet anything that is lacking any sort of cultural depth will be appearing on his Facebook page.
But, I mean, Moonraker is basically the opposite of Spy Who Loved Me, isn't it? You know, there's a guy who wants to destroy all life on Earth and move under the sea versus a guy who wants to destroy all life on Earth and live in space.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think that they're the same films. But yes, you're right. The inversions are there. I mean, I agree with Gareth. It's like with Nymon. And, you know, I understand why he likes them. I understand why he can, you know, he has a lot of love for those because there is something very comfortable about them. They're fun. They are sort of perfect Boxing Day viewing. But so far as James Bond goes, it just feels, it's like it's lost its direction. And I don't think Moore ever helped that. Moore never felt anything more than a dirty uncle, than a sexy suave. There's that his first appearance, I think it's where someone enters the room. I just remember seeing him in there. And he's in obviously some sort of engagement as usual, and he just looks really uncomfortable, as if I don't know, Sean Connery had just left the room and he'd slid in. Sean Connery's uncle had slid in. Ah, so see, my nephew has softened you up. slowly undoing his buttons. God, just stay away. Hold my Merkin and toupee for it.
Well, you know, you say that. I mean, the whole magnetic watch on zip thing just feels far wronger now, doesn't it?
It does. It just doesn't work with him for some reason. And I like him. I've always liked Roger Moore, and I've, you know, never had an issue with his acting. And I sort of kind of like the almost, as you say, parody that he has of that, of James Bond. Not intentionally, maybe, but there is a feeling of parody there, intentional or not. But yeah, as so far as a good James Bond films. I just can't really take much of his era seriously, sadly. I find it amazing. It's like Doctor Who, again, if we go back to Doctor Who, where people will sort of berate McCoy's era, but sort of champion Pertwee's era as being, you know, no, you know, McCoy's era is pantomime, but Pertwee's era was not, of course. And yet, you'll get that people will scream and rant over Die Another Day as being the most terrible Bond film ever. And you think, yeah, there's a lot of rubbish going on in the Roger Moore era. You know,
Die Another Day is unfairly maligned, I feel.
I think so as well. I mean, there are bits in it which are terrible, but when I saw it in the cinema, I didn't mind it. Yeah, I didn't like Halle Berry, and there was some silliness near the end, but I loved the setup. I thought the whole thing with him being caught for years was great. And
it was. And
I think Pierce Brosnan works in it as well. It's just, there's just some stuff in there which just doesn't work. But yeah, you're right. It is wrongly maligned as the most terrible thing ever.
Me wonder where people get these ideas from. And I suppose social media doesn't help with the old echo chamber, which we talk about on an almost weekly basis on the podcast.
Absolutely,
with
a
K. But yeah,
I think it's also the nostalgia factor. I think people are far more, which is, you know, especially with McCoy, because McCoy, when people in the 90s were going on ranting against McCoy being pantomime, McCoy was recent, while Pertwee was the perfect era.
Yeah.
And now people don't rag on McCoy as much as they used to because he's golden age. So I think the same with Bond, you know, that Die Another Day they saw as adults, while they'll remember, you know, View to a Kill as a child. And, you know, View to the Kill, Grace Jones to me was just out of place. And
I think a lot of Bond fans have or maybe they're not Bond fans, maybe they're just average cinema goers and press reviewers or whatever, I don't know, but there are people who seem to think that kind of classic Bond movies are, you know, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy or The Third Man or something like that, and they're not, because there's always been a strong element of parody in the Bond movies.
Yeah, bar maybe the first one. I mean, even Russia with Love has some sort of silliness. Well, it's not intentional silliness, but you can feel the spy silliness starting to seep into it with the poisoned shoe and things like that.
Yeah.
But
there was we went on holiday a few years ago to, it was about 12 years ago now. We went on holiday to, no, it wasn't that long. Well, 11 years ago. 10 years. Say 10 years ago. We went on holiday to Portugal.
To a secret lair?
It wasn't to a secret lair, no. But we went on a tour to a city whose name I can't remember at the moment. And the woman on the bus, who was the tour guide, looked like Rosa Klebb. And it was me and my wife and my parents on the holiday. I kept referring, as me and my dad were talking to each other on the coach, we kept referring to the woman as Klebb.
So which are your favourite Bond films? We just ask, this is the obvious. Come on, we might as well do the clickbait.
Ooh.
Top five Bond films, whatever you want to say.
Top five Bond films?
Or your favourite Bond films, that's not going to
be favourite Bond films, okay. I'm turning to Russ Abbott there, but I've always loved License to Kill.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, crikey. I was massively disappointed in that.
I've always enjoyed License to Kill. I think it was absolutely perfect Bond movie for the time, because everyone was doing down Bond, so they came back and did a action movie, like a Hollywood action movie style Bond movie, and I thought it was really good. I had loads of great set pieces, and Timothy Dalton was really good in it, because I wasn't that keen on him in Living Daylights, but I thought he was really good in License to Kill, and I like the setup of it as well. So License to Kill, this is going to sound like I really struggle choosing a favourite Pierce Brosnan film, because I kind of love them all.
Yes, I'm like that as well.
I would definitely say The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah.
And Tomorrow Never Dies. I do really, really love GoldenEye, but I think those two are just a little bit better. Going back, Goldfinger, and sometimes From Russia With Love, sometimes not From Russia With Love. But I've also got a really big soft spot for Honor Majesty's Secret Service. I like George Lazenby. I think he does a good job. I think they were rather unfair to him by sticking the actor's name escapes me now. George Baker's voice.
Yeah.
Over the top of him. I think that was terrible. Why they would do that, I just don't understand it at all. It kind of detracts from his performance. It makes you think you're watching something that isn't as good as it really is.
Yeah.
So yeah, on a Manchester Secret Service, and not in any particular order, those five.
No, I mean, I've always had a very soft spot for The World Is Not Enough. I liked also the time where I was getting frustrated with Bond endings always resulting in the large studio set with the hangar bay and various versions thereof, and suddenly this was one where you didn't really have that. I mean, even Tomorrow Never Dies sort of had it with the rather badly hidden boat, which was very visible to anyone within a couple of miles probably. But yeah, I liked World Is Not Enough. I think the soundtrack was really good. I think David Arnold did a really nice soundtrack to that. It was a lot of action, good pacing. I've always been slightly fond of Russia with Love, just because, again, it is before Bond gets stuck into that sort of Bondian format.
Yeah.
So I've always quite liked it for that. My only problem with License to Kill is I always thought the idea sounded really more exciting than they ever really did halfway through the film. He has his license revoked, but then they go and help him anyway. And you think, oh, what's the point? Surely the point is he's on his own. So I kind of not like that. I think I will use GoldenEye, because I think that was felt really refreshing.
Yeah. I've still got the, there was a teacher's pack sent out, God knows why, for GoldenEye. And my film studies teacher gave it to me. So I've still got that. Just a little
that's cool.
Addendum there.
No, that's cool.
So where else would you go?
I think I probably would be boring and have to go with Goldfinger.
Right.
And maybe I would have to go with The Spy Who Loved Me just because of nostalgia, not because I think it's a really good film. I think if I was going to take any from the Roger Moore period, it'd probably be For Your Eyes Only, I think, because it is the only one that really feels like it's got any attempt to be vaguely from memory. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them which just don't really work. Majesty's Secret Service is quite enjoyable as well. It's played straight. It works well. But yeah, there's some of the others. You Only Live Twice. It's horrendous, almost South Park-like racial. Which could be just, I mean, it could be Austin Powers, couldn't it? The way they do his face up. And it just looks like Sean Connery with his terrible bits of...
Sean Connery racial. Auditioning for Spock.
It is awful.
Yeah.
Which pulls it down somewhat, but... yeah, there's a mixture. They're all a mix. I've not been into the Daniel Craig stuff.
I think with the Daniel Craig stuff, I do enjoy Casino Royale a lot. I think it's a really, really strong film.
It's the end that ruins it, though. I mean, if they'd sort of tied it up earlier, but it goes into this terrible, is it Venice? Epilogue.
Yeah.
Which is just absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
And it just betrays the rest of the film. And we've said it before, you can have a bad beginning, but you can't have a bad ending.
Yeah, sure.
And the ending just ruined it. The rest of the film is great, I agree. And it's just after the car flip, it all sort of goes downhill for me. And it just goes down bad Bond routes.
After that, I like Quantum of Solace, but I it's clearly not... a perfect James Bond film. It could be a lot better than it is. But I don't mind it. And it's got a great soundtrack as well, I think. There was a list on Digital Spy, them again, of the worst James Bond theme tunes. And they had... the Quantum of Solace theme tune is the one with... Jack White and...
I like that one.
Yeah, it's a great track. And they had it in the list of worst Bond movies theme tunes. And I was like, but what are you talking about?
Problem, isn't it, that we end up, that you can't... I've been re-listening to the Pixies, their latest album, and it's really, really good. I really enjoy it. And you get people saying they're stuck. They are either... It's not enough like the Pixies from... back in the 90s and 80s, and to be fair, all sort of four-ish Pixie albums are pretty much totally different. Mm-hmm. So how you can exist, songs have to fit a style which didn't have a set style. It's either tuned, it's not enough like that, or it's too much like that. They're not doing anything new. And it's this whole sort of nostalgia thing, isn't it? I think, and this, where it's going back with, is that people, Bond theme tunes have to sit a prerequisite of how some of them were like when, you know, Shirley Bassey were doing them or whatever. Mm. And if it's not like that, it's not good enough. I like Quantum of Solace because it is very different. Yeah. And it still has a flavour without... same with World Is Not Enough, to be honest. There's a lot of that sort of old Bond feel to it, but there's still a slightly up-to-date feel to it too.
Yeah. So Skyfall, I enjoy Skyfall, but I always feel as though I enjoyed Spectre more than I enjoyed Skyfall.
I've not seen Spectre yet. I keep meaning to watch it.
Right.
And to be honest, I can never remember which one of Skyfall and Quantum of Solace I've watched. But they weren't very memorable for me.
Right. Well, Skyfall's quite memorable because it's got a big scene in it.
I think it's just a shame that, you know, the whole point of Bond to me was that he was very quintessentially British and then sort of Bourne Identity and the like sort of made big in the States, and suddenly Bond came back sort of having taken the influence, the thing which was mildly influenced by the success of his spy genre. So they sort of played off each other. Hmm. And I kind of miss there being a little more exoticness to the Anglo-centricness of Bond. I thought that was what I liked about Pierce.
Yeah.
That there is a certain larger than life. There's too many sort of gritty action heroes. But it won't be him for the next one, is it? It's not Craig. He's pretty much got that impression from Craig's recent statements that he won't be coming back.
No, I think he's doing Daniel another Craig. Two.
He is actually doing another two.
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Despite all those comments he made about hating it.
Yes.
Like, he wouldn't do another one. He'd rather slit his own wrists or something,
that's
wasn't
what
it?
He
or
said, soon, yeah.
Really. quite in uncertain terms that he was pretty much had it done.
He was reportedly offered over $110 million.
Oh. Which,
that's a lot of lucre.
It is, yes.
And then he said that he might, after that, he was asked in a public scenario, speaking in New York, he said, "I got the best job in the world doing Bond. The things I got to do on a Bond movie, there's no other job like it. If I were to stop doing it, I'd miss it terribly. I love this job. I get a massive kick out of it." So, yeah, he's...
But, I mean, is he doing...
Hate it that much.
Is he doing what so many don't do, and that's realise... They always realise too late that they left a show because of either the typecasting or the fact that it was formulaic or whatever, and then they look back and go, "I wish I'd stayed in there longer." And certainly so much with cult films, you get that same thing that virtually everyone sort of eventually turns around and goes, "I kind of wish I'd stayed there," or "it wasn't as bad as it was." Do you think he's learned ahead of the curve?
He maybe has, yeah. Maybe
I can't believe that. I mean, Bond films must be fucking boring to play. I mean, he's got the character really... you're lucky if you have any sort of moments of character in a Bond film from Bond. He's sort of a character you can't really push him in any directions. So really, you are just playing action scene after action scene after action scene. And that is going to be a lot of that. It's going to be stunt doubles. So for an actor who enjoys, you know, finding a role and performing it... There is very little in Bond. I can imagine why it must be so tedious. At least Doctor Who, you get to sort of to send yourself up and play a more eccentric version of perhaps who you'd like to be or who you could be. But with Bond, you get nothing.
Mm, it does. There's a lot about the whole thing about making a movie that is very dull, isn't there?
Like, yeah, like absolutely.
For an actor, just standing around, and for a lot of the crew, is just standing around. Pretty much doing nothing apart from, if you're lucky, a couple of hours a day.
But I mean, Craig is pretty much firmly entrenched, most part, in film.
Yeah.
Which surprises me, you know, because you think, again, when you get to that amount of money, surely you must get to a point when you think, is it just like a video game where you just can't stop accumulating money in, you know, a SimCity environment? You want to go and play something else, but you've just got to keep making the money. Because you think, you know, if an artist, once you get to that level, you think you break the shackles and just do whatever film interests you. Because you have that power. You can really pick your roles.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, it's strange. I wonder, now, I mean, there's a lot of Bond video games, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Have you played any of them?
I mean, obviously I played GoldenEye.
Yeah.
have I tried on an emulator some of the really bad specy ones. I'm sure I played a more recent one than GoldenEye, and I can't think what it was.
There's the there's the anniversary one. Legends. Have you played that one?
No, I haven't.
Right. There's the Quantum of Solace one that starts off with Casino Royale and then moves into Quantum of Solace.
Right.
As well. Which I had on the Xbox when my Xbox 360 died a few years ago. While I was playing that game, I think, actually. And so I was quite annoyed by that. But I was having a lot of fun with that. But the two that are the most memorable for me are the License to Kill game, and which used a top-down scrolling of Bond. It was like playing a kind of a kick-off to James Bond, basically. It's all top-down. what was the other one? Oh, and GoldenEye as well, which was like a that was a good game to play multiplayer, actually.
It was, wasn't it? It was a really good, strong multiplayer game that everyone enjoyed. Yeah, I think I tried License to Kill. I remember trying Spy Who Loved Me as well. I think it was Spy Who Loved Me.
There was a Live and Let Die. I don't remember Spy Who Loved Me though.
Yeah, that was. It was. We're talking 80s.
Yeah,
for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spy Who Loved Me, yeah, you can find it. You can watch it being played on Amiga Long Play. Whole game in 27 minutes.
Wow.
I could have sworn there was a more recent Bond that I played, but perhaps I didn't. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. But GoldenEye was a lot of fun. It looks so dated now, it's shocking, really.
Well, it's been updated it's available on Nintendo Wii.
How does it play?
It's nicely polished up, so and it plays pretty close to the original. So obviously, it's in a higher definition, but it plays really well.
Okay, I was waiting for a butt there, and there wasn't one. Fine.
No, there isn't one. It's even got the multiplayer in there as well. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
The multiplayer was good. The only thing I think I remember problem with the multiplayer on that was there wasn't an obvious way to turn the scanner off. Or there was something on there that I think you could if you'd used a cheat, but there was something which made it very easy if you were doing split screen to work out where the other one was by your glancing eye. And I remember thinking if there was a way to actually sort of try and make that less easy to see, that would be more fun. But I can't remember. It's been so many years since I played that game. But it was one of those video games, licensed video games, which was really surprisingly good, so much so that the actual fact it was James Bond sort of fell away from the fact it was just a really good multiplayer game.
It was. You're right, it was. It's the last one seems to have been 007 Legends. Certainly as far as Wikipedia is concerned, anyway.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Now I've got it on my. I missed it when it came out, so I've got it on my Steam wish list, but it hasn't come back on Steam, so I haven't had the opportunity to play it. So I can't offer anything about that, other than I wanted to play it, and I still do, pretty much. Okay, so what is your top five James Bond movies, dear listener? I don't mean to be so aggressive, but why don't you tell us in the comments, on Facebook or on Twitter? Please give us a review on iTunes as well, and all that kind of general niceness that you can give to us in exchange for listening in on what was initially a private conversation. How dare you? Until next time, it's goodbye.